Good evening. Tonight's shiur is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Yisrael Meir Ben Yochanan Olav HaShalom. May his neshama have an aliyah. I entitled the shiur tonight Out of the Ashes. And what struck me very much so is we know when we read the Haggadah, it's not going to be necessarily about the Haggadah, but it all ties into the parasha as well, as most things do, because Pesach is all-inclusive with the Bnei Yisrael going out of Mitzrayim. And that's what the whole Chumash is about, obviously. But what we're getting into over here is the Seder itself is about V'igadta Levincha, the four questions that the child asked, V'abein Shoel, and we base it on different psukim that we take out of the Chumash, V'igadta Levincha, and V'omarta Levincha, and various things of that nature, are the psukim that indicate certain and that's a very interesting turn of a phrase, is right away the difference between two sons right there is the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. We know that a lot of times we describe the person who was the Chacham as somebody who doesn't necessarily understand everything. He wants to know more, but he's willing to do it. Whereas when the Rashi says, Mo'a avoda hazos lochem, there's a different connotation in that, is he would like to know first before he does anything. And the choosing of the words is very careful, like in the Chumash, the people who compose the Haggadah, or as we have a Masorah that was Eliyahu HaNavi that wrote the Haggadah, but regardless of that, when it says mochor, the word mochor means, I'm told what to do today, I'll do it. As long as tomorrow you explain it to me, first I'll do it. Whereas the Rasha wants to know before he does it, he wants to know why. If he doesn't understand it, he won't do it. So mo'a avoda hazos lochem, what is that? And so what we're trying to establish at the Seder is there are lines of communication between a parent and child, between a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, or any parent and any child, is very important. And we have the same thing with brothers and families. And where we're going with this is something very interesting and very important here. We have the beginning of the parsha this week starts off with Tzave, God speaks to Moshe, and he says, Tzave saron v'yesponov le'mor zosno raso olah. And what is this all about in reality? I mean, why does it say Tzav? The question is, and it's asked by many Rishonim, why does God have to say to Moshe, Tzav es Aaron? Previously, any time that God wants Moshe to tell Aaron anything, he says, Daber el Aaron ochicha, or V'yomarto el Aaron, and say things to Aaron. And here he has to say, Tzav es Aaron. And Chazal makes speculation at this point, because Aaron was not anxious to be the Kohen Gadol, so Moshe had to command him to do it. God wanted him to command it. Why wasn't he anxious? Because unfortunately he saw the future that his being the Kohen Gadol would cause the death of his two children. But that's a very difficult thing to say, because it would presuppose that Aaron had the capability of seeing that. Even as a Navi, we know that God only wants somebody to see the future, as he doesn't have his own capabilities to see whatever he feels like seeing. But God has to give him certain visions that he wants him to see, and certainly I don't know that God would want him to see that. But what I think is more likely, what I'd like to suggest, is something totally different, which more in line with Aaron himself. We know that the problem with the Egel, when that Maisa happened, Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, Vayashlech Miyadov Es Haluchos, when he sees all the things that happened, and he says, Mil Hashem Elai, Vayeshu Elav Kol Bnei Levi. And then Moshe is praised to God, and finally God says, Lech Neche Yetzom. And initially when God is telling him that he's going to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael, and Moshe pleads for them, and God says, Mi Asher Chotoliyem Chenu Mi Sifri, very harsh words, those that have sinned against me, they are the ones that I will obliterate from the Torah, from my people, which means Klal Yisrael, and certainly the way God instructed Moshe to write the Torah, that would fall on the shoulders of Aaron HaKohen, because the story ends, as I've mentioned so many times in the past, the story ends with Asher Oso Aharon, and Moshe is quite upset with Aharon at the end, and now Moshe and Aharon, not to say that they've kept their distance, but Moshe does not know exactly what this story is over here, and Aharon is walking on eggshells, certainly, because he feels very unworthy, and he's trying to keep a low profile as much as he knows that God has forgiven everybody. The fact is that a certain amount of people died, and Aharon knows that there's a lot of bad feeling here and a lot of trouble here because he finally left Aharon in charge and things didn't work out. And certainly Moshe, and he came down and he laces it into Aharon. He said, "What me'asolecho amazeh keveso alai? You know, you brought all this terrible sin." And Aharon is becoming, not to say a shrinking violet, but he's trying, as I said, keep a low profile. So what is happening over here? So now God understands what's going on in the mind of Aharon. And he understands that Aharon feels very low. But what we learned in the Parshas Vayikra is something very interesting. And it tells us the rules of various karbonos. And among them is the karbon chatos. And God is trying to say, as we see in one of the karbonos that I mentioned last week, it says, Asher nosi yecheta. And if we just take the phrase and put the pause, Asher nosi, as I mentioned last week, if you become a leader, it's inevitable that at some point in time you're going to make a misstep because you have to make decisions on the spur of the moment, and sometimes it's a very difficult thing to do, and you're trying to make everybody happy. And we know that Aharon's character was Rodev Shalom. He was trying to make everybody happy and keep the peace, and that was a very noble trait that Aharon possessed. But the fact remains, that's not always possible. Sometimes, as we see, and when we get to Parshas Pinchas, Vayikach Romach Biado, when Pinchas takes the spear and he pierces Cosby and the two people that he kills, and that is what brings peace. Hineni no seilois brisi shalom. That is sometimes the only way to bring about peace. And Aharon is very unsure of himself, certainly not feeling worthy. But God knows one thing, and there's a certain way that he could prove that he has forgiven Klal Yisrael. The guilt of the Egel has been placed squarely on the shoulders of Aharon. And God is trying to convince Bnei Yisrael, he wants Moshe to convince Bnei Yisrael, that if you follow the rules of all these korbanos, they will affect certain things that you want. You feel gratitude towards Hashem. The only way to do it is, I want you to spend the money and bring a korban todah. You bring in Ola, you bring a Zevach Shlomim, the Chagigah, various karbonas that we have to bring during the course of a year. And most important of all is the karbon chatos. When somebody does a sin, no matter how grievous the sin, unless it's at the cost of your own life, the way to expiate your sin is by bringing a karbon chatos, and then you will expiate your sin. Now, Aharon is aware of this, and of course, he certainly believes it. But the fact remains, does he feel worthy to be the Kohen Gadol, the one who is supposed to now be the leader of a purified nation over here? Somebody, the Bnei Yisrael are starting a new beginning with the Mishkan to get close to God. God is offering this opportunity. Do you think that Aharon should spearhead this whole situation where he gets to be the leader of the Prince of Peace, as we would call it over here, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, and tell everybody where they went wrong? He is a sinner on his own. He has done something. In fact, at the beginning of Parsha Shmini, when we read it after Pesach, when it says, you know, Karav Elamaz Be'ach, Vasei Aschat Noschov, Yes Olo Secho, he has to convince Aharon to get close to the Mizbeach and bring your Karban Chatos, and you will be forgiven. And God realizes one thing. The best way that I could prove to Klal Yisrael that when one brings a Karban Chatos, if he has the right and the proper thoughts when he brings it, that he really is trying to do a tshuva, to effect a total forgiveness from God, and effect the tshuva, gemura, he has to realign his thoughts and his actions and make a commitment never to do the same thing again, and then all will be forgiven. He starts with a clean slate, and God tells Moshe, Daves Aron, you're going to have to command him to do that because his mindset is he's feeling very low. But I know that if I tell Aron not just to bring this Karbon Chatos, which I will forgive him for, but how much more does it send a message to Klal Yisrael that not only am I giving Aron the ability to bring a Karbon Chatos to forgive him for the sin, but I am appointing Aaron to the highest position available to him, other than Moshe Rabbeinu. I am going to appoint him the Kohen Gadol. Once he brings that Karbon Chatos, then he is eligible even to be the Kohen Gadol. How much more could Hashem do to prove the power of bringing the Karbon Chatos and having the right mindset when one does it? And that is what God is trying to prove over here. But how do we pass on this information from one generation to the next? When we get to V'avodim Hayinu L'Faro B'Mitzrayim, we ask the four questions. We are told to read the Haggadah and to reestablish a relationship between a father and a son. And that is what the Haftorah is all about. The end of the Haftorah is V'heshiv Levavos Al Bonim V'Lev Bonim Al Avosam. How does a father and a son get on the same page? The father sees what the son says and understands what he says, and the son understands what the father says, and he trusts him for the information that he's getting. This is the connection we're trying to establish between families, between fathers and sons, so that we could keep Yiddishkeit going from generation to generation. The Seder is so important to affect that communication breakdown that goes on during the course of the year. At least once a year, when we sit down at the Seder and the child asks, you will discuss it with him. And if it's discussed properly, if there's a mutual respect between the father and the son, then we could achieve that v'heshiv levavos al bonim v'lev bonim al avosam. And that's why the psukim before that say zikru Torah Moshe Avdi. We have to remember the Torah of Moshe, who was the honor. That Moshe, even though he was certainly the greatest human being who would ever walk this earth, but nevertheless, he was the Anav that he was so that he was approachable. He could establish lines of communication with everybody. When he spoke to his people, when God told him, as I mentioned last week, V'shove l'machaneh, when he went back to, God said, you can't act as if you're angry with them. You have to be approachable. So V'shove l'machaneh, you have to make yourself available. And he did that. And he's trying to tell Aaron to rise above his feelings of inadequacy at this point in time. And so it's necessary to say to him, Davis Aaron. And therefore, at that point, the only way we can get to that is by following Moshe's lead. And Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. And if we do that, and if we reach that level, then Hinei Anochi, then the time will come when v'heshiv lev avos al bonim v'lev bonim al avosam, and then God could say, Hinei, the time is right. Hinei anochi sholeach lochem es Eliyahu hanavi lifnei yom bo hagadol. Then you will be ready to receive on the way we finish off the Haftorah Shabbos Hagadol. And this is how we do it. And I always feel, because for me on a personal level, this was always very meaningful to me, and we've been doing this now for a few years. Erev Pesach is my grandfather's yahrzeit, and he died with the chometz in his hand. Just me and him were alone. I was not quite 9 years old, and he handed me the chometz, and he lay down on the floor, and I didn't think about it then, but the fact remains, as I grew older and I thought about it, he was sort of passing the torch. And my father came in and said to me, told me to go home. I told him, he said, what's the matter? I said, Zaida passed away. I said, right away, he died, because he asked, why did I say that? I said, because that's the way he looked. He didn't fall down. He sat down slowly, laid himself out, and closed his eyes very peacefully. He looked like he just passed away. And that's how he did. And so the torch was passed from one generation. At that moment, when I look back, that was the moment. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see my grandfather in my older years, but as I reflect on those years, that's the sukkim that means something to me because of my father's patience with me, my grandfather's patience with me. I started learning Gemara with my grandparents. So when we sit down to the Seder, the relationship between the parents and the children, if there's a mutual respect, then it won't be V'hayaki Omru Aleichem B'neichem, where we have the Russia. The Russia says, don't tell me, I'll tell you, because you don't understand. And that is the difference between the Russia and the Chacham. He understands that V'higata Talabincha V'hayaki Yisholcha, when a child is asking his father for advice and he listens, then the lines of communication have been effective at the Seder. We all hope that we have a good Seder. Next week, Tuesday night, if we're available, we'll discuss Seder in much greater detail. Have a good evening and a wonderful week. Don't work too hard.